All right, you have your Bible tonight. If you don't have your Bible, go get your Bible, because the answer tonight is coming from the Word. Okay, we're going to begin in Revelations chapter 12. If you'll get your Bible, Revelations chapter 12, I'm going to read quickly from verse 7 through verse 12. Revelation 12, I'm reading verse 7 through verse 12, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. And so whatever version you're reading from, I'm going to read out loud. Are you ready? Okay. Verse 7. And there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, and he who accuses them before our God day and night. Verse 11, listen now. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. Finally, verse 12. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. Amen. Well, that's the word of the Lord tonight. That's the word, the passage the Lord laid on me to share with you tonight. And let me just say I love it because the Bible describes that in heaven, there was actually a war that took place. And in this war, in this mighty battle, there was a victor, there was a winner, and there was a loser. And the Bible's very clear about this. Our God, he's the victor. Our God, he's the one with the victory. Amen. And Satan and his angels, they rebelled against God. But the Bible says there was no longer any place found in heaven for them. And the Bible says four times that they were thrown down. It doesn't say they were helped down. Doesn't say they were let down. Doesn't say they were placed down. They were thrown down. And so our God has always had the victory. It's not even close. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? I said, aren't you glad about that? Now, my family told me tonight, my son, my daughter-in-law, they said, Dad, when you preach tonight, don't ask for an amen. This is a night you should not ask for an amen. But how many of you know, I don't think I've ever preached a sermon without getting an amen. And so I've asked the Lord to let me hear those amens. I can hear your amen. Can I get an amen from home? Amen. So, God is so good. The enemy was defeated. The enemy was thrown down. He was thrown out of heaven. And the Bible said, woe to the earth, because he's out of heaven, but he's in that earth realm creating havoc. Jesus said he's a thief. He's a liar. He's a stealer. Any lying, stealing, cheating going on, that's the devil. That's coming from the devil. And so the Bible says, woe to those who are in the earth, because the devil's come down having great wrath, knowing this, that he has only a short time. But in the middle of those verses that I read to you this verse, verse 11. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even when faced with death. Glory be to God. The title of this message tonight is Plead the Blood. I plead the blood. I want you to say that with me. I plead the blood. It just has a great ring to it. It has power when you say that. What are we talking about? The blood of Jesus. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I want you to say that to somebody else. Tell them, I plead the blood. Glory to God. Amen. And so sometimes people say, well, what do you mean? We hear, you know, older people, older saints say that. I plead the blood. What are you talking about when you say I plead the blood? The Bible says here they overcame him, overcame the accuser, the one accusing day and night, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And so, you know, I'm talking about what it means to plead the blood, to plead the blood. That's my assignment here tonight, is to cover this one topic. I plead the blood. And I was watching a show the other day, a documentary, and it was on a trial. Someone had been arrested, and there was an accusing attorney. And the person was at the trial, at their court. And the accusing attorney was asking them questions. And the accusing attorney said to him, were you at such and such a place at such and such a time? And the person, the defendant, said, I plead the fifth. And then the attorney asked him and said, well, do you know such and such a person? He said, the defendant said, I plead the fifth. He said, well, did you do such and such a thing? And the man said, I plead the fifth. And then the accusing attorney, he got ready to ask another question. Before he could even get the question out, the man yelled, I plead the fifth. And so what was he saying? He was evoking the defendant's constitutional right. He was given by the Fifth Amendment is what he's talking about. The Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which was ratified in 1791. What was that man doing? He was evoking his constitutional right. The right had already been given. He was just evoking what had already been given to him. And I tell you, it's the same thing when we plead the blood of Jesus. There's something that's already been provided. There's something that's already been done. There's a victory that's already been won. Glory to God. And when we say, I plead the blood, we are enacting something that's already happened in our behalf. I said, can you say amen to that? And so the defendant was saying, I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. You know, that became really popular, that term. People don't even say, like, I plead the Fifth Amendment, which is what they mean. But people say, I plead the fifth. And that became popular in the 1950s, even though it was ratified in the 1700s. Became popular in the 1950s, and people ever since have used that. But when we're saying, I plead the blood, we're calling on something that's already been accomplished, something that's already been finished, the finished work of Jesus. And so that's what we're talking about when we say, I plead the blood of Jesus. Look with me real quick at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. We're talking tonight about pleading the blood. We're talking about the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, knowing that you were redeemed with perishable things, that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of inherited, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, verse 19, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. Hey, it was the blood of Jesus. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And let me tell you, that blood was a precious blood, like it says here. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're talking about the precious blood tonight, the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're going to Ephesians. When you get there, listen, look over at somebody in your house and tell them, I plead the blood. If nobody else is in your house, look in the mirror. Just keep telling somebody, I plead the blood. Glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Glory be to God. In Christ we have redemption. How do we have redemption? Through his blood. Aren't you glad about it? Oh, aren't you thankful for the blood? Oh, glory be to God. It's through the blood that we're covered by that blood. Aren't you glad about that? I said, it's because of the blood. We're redeemed because of the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad about that? There's a blood banner all around you. There is a hedge of protection around you through the blood. The blood is your protection. The blood is your deliverance. The blood is your salvation. And I'm so glad tonight there's still power in the blood. Glory be to God. And so as people are talking about, you know, the coronavirus and all that, hey, you stick with the blood. Stay with your promise and with your covenant in the blood of Jesus. Amen? And so the blood, pleading the blood, pleading the blood. You know, to plead the blood, you have to know the word. You can't plead the blood right if you don't know the word. You've got to know what's promised to you. Let's go over to Exodus for a moment. Talking about pleading the blood, pleading the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives, even when faced with death. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, starting at verse 21, Exodus 12, 21. To plead the blood, listen, you got to know the word. You got to know the word. If you're going to plead the blood, that means you're going to evoke all of your covenant rights and privileges that come to you through the blood of the Lamb. Glory be to God. You know, when you plead the blood, you're making, the definition means to make an emotional appeal. You're making an emotional, essentially, you're making an emotional demand for something that's already yours, for something that's already done, for something that's already been promised to you. Glory be to God. When you plead the blood, you're not begging. You're not begging for the effects of the blood to work, for the efficacy of the blood to work. You're not sheepishly. No, listen, when you plead the blood, you're emotionally demanding something that already belongs to you because Jesus already won the victory. I said, gee, can I get an amen there? Jesus has already won the victory. Glory to God. And so when you plead the blood, praise God, you're making a demand. It's an emotional appeal that comes from a demand from something that's already yours. In Exodus chapter 12 at verse 21, it says this, then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood, which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts, and none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come to your houses to smite you. So what was the admonition? It was to slay the lamb, to slay the Passover lamb, and then to take the blood that was in the basin and dip hyssop into the blood, and then to apply that blood. That blood, the lamb was slain, but the blood had to be applied. I wish I had an amen there. I said, it's one thing for the lamb to be slain. It's another thing for the blood to be applied. And every believer must enact his covenant rights by applying the blood of Jesus. And that's what we mean when we say we plead the blood. I plead the blood. You're essentially saying, I'm applying all of my rights, all of my blood-bought rights and privileges because of who I am in Christ. I'm applying every benefit of that. I'm evoking the full power of that. I plead the blood. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, when you're hearing the scares of the coronavirus, you need to be saying, hey, I plead the blood, not here. The blood is not coming anywhere. The blood's covering me. The blood's covering my family. The blood's covering my house. Don't let Satan trespass on you. Just plead the blood. Glory to God. Glory be to God. Hey, and you may be somebody who's contracted the virus and whatever. You can still plead the blood. You can still plead the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. I said the blood will never lose its power. I'm so glad the blood's still saving today. The blood's still delivering today. The blood's still setting people free today. Glory to God. The Bible says this, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth so he can show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Glory to God. God's looking for you. He's looking for your faith today. Glory to God. Faith in the blood of Jesus. Tell somebody again, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Glory to God. You're saying I evoke my full covenant rights, my full covenant privileges in the blood. And guess what? Not just the blood, but also the stripes that Jesus took upon his back. Glory to God. Aren't you glad about that? That he bore our sicknesses. He bore our illnesses. He became sick so that we didn't have to. Jesus paid the price for it all. Glory to God. I plead the blood. I plead the stripes too. Glory to God. Amen. And so we have to know, listen, if it happened like this in Israel, where God said, I'm going to allow you to sacrifice a Passover lamb, and I'm going to allow the power of the symbolism in that. There's power in it. You're going to apply that physically to the doorpost of your home, and the destroyer's not coming to your house. Glory be to God. I said, the coronavirus is not coming to your house. Plead the blood. Glory to God. And so go with me to Hebrews now. Go with me to Hebrews, keeping that thought in mind. Let's go over to Hebrews, talking about what Jesus did and the symbolism that we just saw there in Exodus 12. Glory to God. In Hebrews 8, and verse 6. We're in Hebrews 8 now, verse 6. I'm waiting on you. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. I want you to see it with your own eyes. I want you to turn to it with your own Bible. Glory to God. I'm waiting on somebody to turn to it. Listen, tell somebody else, I plead the blood. Praise God. Praise God. I still want to hear your amens out there. You know, if I don't hear amen, I got to hear it. I got to hear it in the spirit. If I don't hear your amens, I think you don't understand what I'm saying. And I start all over again. So, okay, we're in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted upon better promises. Listen now, verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. Glory to God. Guess what? You and I who are in Christ, you and I who are believers in the body of Christ, those of us who are in the ecclesia, the called out one, the body of Christ, glory to God, we are covered by a better covenant established upon better promises. You know what that means? If they had a benefit or a privilege or an inheritance in the Old Testament, over in the New Testament, we have something, not just that, we have something way better than that. And in the Old Covenant, in the Old Covenant, they could take the blood literally and apply it to the doorpost of their home. Oh, but glory be to God, we got a better covenant established upon better promises. Can you say amen? And glory to God. Now, glory to God, that blood can be applied by faith to the doorpost of your heart, of your home, of everything that you have and possess. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Flip over to the next chapter, chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, talking about a better covenant established upon better promises. Hebrews 9, 11, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctifying for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more, listen now, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Glory be to God. You know what that means? Hey, the Bible is saying, listen, if God allowed the blood of bulls and goats to suffice temporarily as payment for the penalty of people's sins, oh, glory be to God. We have the real thing. We have the authentic thing. We have the actual precious blood of Jesus. Glory to God. And the blood is still saving tonight. The blood is still delivering. The blood is still protecting people tonight. The blood is still setting people free on tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so the word said back in Revelations, the word said they overcame him. How did they overcome him? They overcame him by the blood, overcame him by applying the blood, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. So the blood and the word and their commitment, even when they faced death, they were committed to God no matter what. They were sold out to God no matter what. And glory to God, he always saw his people through. Aren't you glad? God has given us authority. If you're a believer tonight, if you're a member of the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus has given, he has transferred something so powerful, so meaningful to you. He has given you authority. Let's look at that for a minute. I said, if you're going to plead the blood, you got to know the word. You got to know what's been promised to you. And so we've been given authority. Look at Luke 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Oh, thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Luke 10, 19. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory to God. I said, Jesus has given you authority. Look over at Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. Jesus has given us authority. Praise God. When we plead the blood, we are using our God-given authority. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 28, let's make sure I'm at the right, 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go therefore. You know what that go means? That go means go with my authority. He said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he said, now you go. What he's really literally saying is, now you go with my authority. Go with my word. Go with my name. Go with my blood. Go in the, and so we've been given the name. We've been given the word. Glory to God. We've been given the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them, I plead the blood. Hallelujah. To plead the blood is to walk in your God-given authority. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so Jesus has promised us the victory. He's promised us the victory. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 3. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. It says this, the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Oh, glory to God. Did you read that there? The Son of God appeared to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. The Son of God has appeared to give us the victory. In every area of life, Jesus has provided the victory. So I know there's a scare out there today, and so many, the Bible says men's hearts are failing them because of fear. But you just remember, you keep pleading the blood, plead the stripes, the power of the stripes of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. God's going to continue to see you through. Hallelujah. You continue to apply the blood. Apply it by faith. Apply it using the name. Apply it using your authority. Apply it using the word. Glory to God. Just keep saying, it's written, it's written, it's written. 2 Peter 1:4 says, there has been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so we become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped that corruption. How do we escape that corruption? How do we escape the corruption of Corona? Oh, we get the precious promises of God's word and we plead the blood. Hallelujah. Plead the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Well, you need anything from the Lord tonight, I tell you, your answer is in the word, and God is going to help you. And I want you to pray with me right now. Come on, let's pray. If you'll bow your heads, let's pray together. Father, I thank you right now for all who are tuning in, for all who are watching this message. I thank you there is power in the blood. I thank you there is authority in the blood. Father God, I thank you there's power in that name, the name. Oh, the name of Jesus. There's power in the word. Oh, thank you for it, Father God. The blood is still saving people tonight, still setting people free tonight. Father, I thank you. You see bowed heads and hearts and hands lifted to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch your people tonight. Thank you, Father, for healing, for touching, for delivering. And Father, somebody out there might want to be saved. Hey, do you need to be saved tonight? Do you need to be saved by the blood of Jesus? Hey, say this prayer out loud after me. Father, I come. Just say it right out loud. Just say it right after me. Father, I come. I come to you now. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe that you allowed him to pay the penalty for my sins. And I receive Jesus as my Savior right now. Thank you, Father. I believe from this moment forward, Jesus has come into my heart and my life will never be the same. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, guess what just happened to you? You just got born again. Glory to God. But if you're there and maybe you're already a Christian, you have not given your life to the Lord, back to the Lord, and you haven't been living right, hey, you can do that the same way. The blood of Jesus. The Bible says this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us of all unrighteousness.